Welcome, everyone. I'm Meg.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Post-Concert Depression.
We are here to discuss all things surrounding concerts, following bands, music, and anything else under the sun.
Join in for some undiscussed aspects of the music world while also laughing your butt off.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to part two of our conversation with Christian Burghart.
We left off talking about Christian's favorite concert memory and Jess's opinions on John Mayer Live.
Here we go with part two. Enjoy.
Oh yeah. Also, like when I toured with Gavin, like when it comes to putting on like a show and being a showman, that dude is ridiculous. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he's so like,
he's got so much swag
and just so much confidence up there. The way he walks.
His fedora that he always wears.
Yeah. He's always it. Yeah. And he's, tears it
Jess,
up.
Were you there when he played Summerfest? Were you with me?
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I remember really liking.
We were like in the back, like standing on these bleachers, like just standing out to Gavin DeGraw. Then I think we went up to the front and like he was like saying hi to people, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not us.
Oh.
But yeah.
He's actually a really cool guy too. Like I got to hang with him in that songwriting session. And basically I brought my guitar. He was on some piano and we just jammed out for like 3 hours. And it was,
that's good to hear because I heard something different that he was not cool, but
I guess it depends.
That was one hearsay opinion.
See, my A&R was like best friends with him or like really good friends with him. He's one of the guys that discovered him early. So maybe that had something to do with it. Cause when he introduced me, he's like, hey, this is my boy, Christian, like treat him good.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. But my
I want to believe the best in people. So I believe your word. You worked with him. So
yeah, maybe that whoever has that bad opinion, just caught him on a bad day or something.
We all have bad days and I'm sure I've rubbed people the wrong way.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe he was just super exhausted or something. Who knows? But for me, working with him, he was so humble and he treated me like an equal. And it was just, and I was nobody at the time. So it was a great experience, man. And the guy's obviously incredibly talented. So.
Oh yeah. He's a good time.
Oh, another one. I don't get to mention this very often, but you guys know Lifehouse, right? The band.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of those guys growing up and I got to write a song with them too. And with Jason Wade and all those guys. And
oh, that's awesome.
Got to write this song that was originally going to be on my record, but then they ended up taking it and putting it on their record.
Was that cool or were you like upset you didn't get to have it?
No, I was so stoked to have Jason singing my song. Like, incredible.
What song is it?
It's called Hurt This Way. I forget which album it is on theirs, but if you look it up, you'll find it. Hurt This Way by Life.
All right, I'm adding it to my playlist.
And you could probably, when you hear it, you're going to be like, ah, oh, shit, I can totally hear Christian singing this because I did.
Wait, you said Hurt This Way?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, we'll have to give it a listen.
All right, Christian, hard-hitting questions. Do you sing in the shower?
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Do you like feel like warm? Do you have like a microphone in the shower? Are you dancing around or are you just like belting it out? What's the move?
In the shower is where I used to practice like high notes and stuff. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I guess the reverb or whatever, right? Is that the right term?
Yeah. Well, I know that my whole family could hear me, but it's just something that feels freeing when you're in the shower. Like you feel like nobody don't care. So growing up, I'm sure like I drove my family crazy because I probably wasn't good back then, but I learned a lot of my chops in the shower.
No shame at all.
What did you see yourself? Okay. When you were little, did you see yourself being a musician as your career?
Nope, not at all.
It's crazy where life takes you.
Did you say what you majored in college? I don't think you did. I think you kind of skipped over it.
Didn't you say business?
Yeah. No, I didn't say.
He didn't say.
I started like on the med field program, but then I quickly realized that I couldn't get a B or an A in chemistry, which you needed.
Hey, it doesn't matter what grade you get. It just matters that you graduate, right?
Right.
Chemistry's hard.
Oh, it's so hard. And I took it twice and I got C pluses both times. So I was like, screw this. So I changed my degree to health science and I finished in health science. So, you know, I could be a nutritionist or your dietary consultant if you need one or like your trainer.
Yeah, let's do some Zoom workouts.
Yeah, I should start a freaking Twitch channel and like hold yoga sessions or something.
Twitch is where it's at right now. I feel like I'm kind of missing out because I haven't been on the Twitch game, but
I don't even know the Twitch game.
Well,
me neither, except for like I see like some video gamers and stuff on there, but like
Cal Scribby's DJ. He's DJing. He's DJing at night. I'm like, maybe I should check in on that.
I've actually heard about that. Actually, yeah. My roommate's actually thinking about starting a podcast and going on Twitch. And we have a DJ buddy, and he was talking to him about, hey, dude, maybe you should come on and do DJ sets, you know, during my Twitch stream. So
interesting.
Yeah. It's a thing now.
I feel like it is a thing, and I feel like I need to be a part of it, because I was telling Jess before we started this podcast, the past couple of days, I've just been like really sad about missing concerts. Like, I just want to get drunk with my friends and then go to a show and be on the floor and be around other people that are like really into the show. I miss that.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like that. Like, you're instantly bonded with everybody down there in the show because you're there
for the community that you get from being at the show. And just like,
yeah,
I always am so amazed, like just watching the crowd, like everybody singing back to the artist. Like, it's just such a like great feeling, and it just like fills you up. And like getting that taken away has been like so depressing.
Yeah.
It has. I know you said you haven't really been listening to music, but what was your last concert before the pandemic?
That I went to?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't remember?
I can't remember.
My God, I could tell you the date of my last concert.
Same. March 5th.
Like a big artist? Like
March 12th.
It doesn't matter who, just whoever you saw last.
I can't remember. I think the last show I went to was like this, all my buddies back in Portland, like these awesome players. They all play in a really like fun funk band, and they play at this bar in Lake Oswego down there. And I think that's the last like legit show I went to. But it's not like a major artist. It was like a jam band, and it was super fun.
Still a good time.
We love small artists.
Oh yeah. I remember like maybe 6 months ago, I went to a restaurant and they had like a guy playing guitar and singing songs. And I was like, I was at a concert. I was like, I don't even know who you are, but I'm like, this is what I need right now.
Let me hype you up.
I like didn't want to leave, because I was like, I just want to enjoy this music right now. Please.
Man, don't even start. Way too long.
Well, and LA is like super shut down. So like,
yeah,
you know, that's what they say, but it's actually my experience.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's not as bad as they say it is. Like, it's no different than it is in Portland.
Well, I guess, yeah, my girlfriend is from there, and she was there for like the holidays, and they would like, the mall was open, and I was like, you can't eat in a restaurant, but you can go to the mall?
Yeah. I went to the mall like a month ago when I was here.
I was like, what? I don't understand.
I go out after 10 and stuff and like hit the grocery mart and stuff, and like, you know.
What's
and
that like?
There's nobody enforcing it or anything, so.
What's it like to go to the grocery mart?
We have a curfew here in Ohio, so
we're supposed to have a 10 p.m. curfew, but we have this little grocery mart that's like right across the street over here, and they're the best. Like, they have all like, they're like a 7-Eleven, but they carry whatever they want, and they carry like all these like healthy foods and stuff. It's like almost like a half grocery mart, half a 7-Eleven, and it's like, it's the spot.
That's kind of cool that it's like right there. And
oh, it's perfect.
Sounds like they just do what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they're essential business, right? They serve food. So
yeah.
Oh, true.
That's true. That's very true. I also, this is a totally random question. Have you had Sugarfish yet?
Sugarfish is sushi place, right?
Yeah. Isn't it? Do you like sushi? Are you into sushi?
I've heard it's amazing, and I'm a massive fan of sushi. So I probably
should. You're going to have to try it.
I definitely am. Unfortunately, it's been sushi stop the last few weeks. So we're going to have to upgrade here eventually.
Yeah, you got to try it out. There's like a box that they give you. That's what I ordered. I mean, I only had it once, and I usually like deep fried, like really unhealthy rolls. And it's like the sashimi that you get from, what is it called? Sugarfish. I'm really having some trouble over here, but it's a good time.
I've already heard of Sugarfish from multiple people here. So this only reaffirms that I have to go. I'm definitely going to go.
Gotta take it out.
Do you want to move into artist pet peeves?
Yeah.
Jessica.
Artist pet peeves.
I feel like we skipped one of my questions, but it's fine.
Well, you just have kind of been all over the place. So I've just been kind of,
I feel like things are just popping in my head, and I just want to talk about them. I mean, like,
which is fine. I'm here for it.
Cool. Okay. So we usually do a segment called like concert pet peeves, and of like things that annoy us when we go to a concert. So do you have any pet peeves of when you're playing a show, of just in general, like writing songs or making music or going to a concert? Do you have anything that bothers you when you go?
The only thing, and it didn't bother me, but it was just when I used to tour, there'd always be someone that would have to scream out, "Take your shirt off."
I feel like that would be so annoying. Cause again, it goes back to your tweet of like, it's not about the looks. Like, I mean, I think that helps, but like you're up here to like perform, not
it's good intended, you know, it's good intentions, but you know, after you're on like your 35th show of the tour and then you hear it again, you're just like,
like, oh, leave me alone.
Just play this whole show shirtless and avoid the comment, you know, from the
get-go. Right. But it's also like, you think about it, it's like their first show, but it's like in your mind, it's your 35th show, but it's like, you have to like pretend like it's your first show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is hard. Cause like, I mean, I've worked in customer service jobs and like answer the same freaking question 1200 times. And I'm like, oh, don't you know? And then they're like, no.
That's probably my pet peeve from the artist standpoint, from the musician standpoint. Like I can circle back to what you were saying about the jam sesh stuff, because sometimes that gets annoying when artists like change their songs too much and you want it to be the way you heard it kind of, or the way you're used to it. And then when they warp it into something totally different, you're like, oh man, I didn't get to experience that song in all its glory sometimes. You know what I mean? Or when they jam for like 7 minutes, like John does sometimes, it's kind of like,
yeah, I actually appreciate when artists do that. And it kind of like gives it a fun flair, like remixing your own songs. Cause it's like, again, like kind of the ever evolving thing. But also I do know your point of like, if I go to somebody that I'm not really into, I just want to hear it the way that I know it. But I like when, you know, there's like a little remix in there. It adds like a fun element.
I feel like it also kind of grounds me. It makes me like pay attention more than just like muscle memory, just singing the song like I know it. It makes me like step back and be like, oh, all right. You know what I'm saying?
Like coming from doing that as an artist, it's actually awesome. But sometimes like all I'm saying is like,
yeah,
say there's like a song that's just got this fucking popping beat and you want that bump, and then they do an acoustic version. You're like, oh man. Oh,
okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a super stripped down version, which is super cool sometimes. But sometimes you just want that bass, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, totally.
On board. I think it just depends, you know?
Definitely.
Anything else that comes to mind, or, you know, I know we just put you on the spot with that.
Yeah. You know, Christian, you're being really gracious. We went on and on about things we hate about concerts.
Let me think. Pet peeves wise.
So okay, when you go to a show as an attendee, do you prefer, like, let's say it's like a bowl show, like you can be in a bowl or be on the floor, what would you prefer, being on the floor or be in the bowl?
Put me in the pit for sure.
So now
have you ever been front row?
Yes.
At a show? Yeah. For who?
Okay, I feel like you have to have pet peeves then.
No, I don't have pet peeves. You're talking about people like pushing their way through and stuff like that. And
that, or I don't know. I feel like security is one of our big pet peeves. We have a lot of issues with security.
I feel like how many times have you been front row at a concert?
Probably like 5 or 6 times, probably.
Okay. We have definitely had way more experiences. We like used to do front row all the time.
Much larger sample size for sure.
Yeah, that's probably why we have pet peeves, because we've done it so many times.
All right. Gonna move on.
Yeah. I was thinking of this TikTok because this guy is like talking like Matthew McConaughey. Anyways. Okay, so now we're gonna ask you some questions about like this or that. And this is related to when you're performing. When you're performing. Have you played an outdoor show?
just ask the questions.
I've definitely played some outside
shows. Would you prefer to play outdoor or indoors?
I don't think I have a preference. I like them both. I've had good and bad outdoor and indoor shows, so I don't know.
Okay, but you have to pick.
Okay, fine. I'll say outdoor then, just because I have had a few shows that were just super memorable or outdoor that were really cool. So yeah.
I like that answer. Do you like to, I don't know. I don't want to be offensive. Do you drink alcohol? Yeah,
I do.
Okay. Do you like, do you like to drink before you perform, or do you like to do it sober?
I like to have like a couple sips of something before. My favorite thing
loosen you up a little
before shows is hot sake.
Ew. The last time, Meg came to visit me recently and we went to sushi and we got hot sake and I was like, nope, this is not it.
Not good hot sake. There's definitely levels to this game, you know? There's like,
I probably have not tried the good hot sake.
Yeah, probably not. The reason I like sake is because it's like, you know, it's like wine, like the percentage wise. So it's a little stronger than a beer, a little less strong than liquor. Mm-hmm. And it's warm, so it acts like tea on your voice, kind of. It warms you up, and it also gives you that.
That's like a good, that makes sense.
For me, I don't know why, but I never get sick on sake either. Like I never get stomach aches or headaches. So it's just the perfect, like, pre-show. Perfect
little remedy, yeah. Interesting. Okay. Do you like to meet fans after the show or no?
I love meeting fans after the show. Like,
you met us after, so.
Exactly. Well, the merch table is like, it feels so good after show to just go check in with everybody and like being done with the work and just enjoying the after party is just like, that's so much fun. It's one of the
Is there any like memorable moment that stands out to you of like either a cringe moment or like a moment that like really touched your heart when you met people after you played?
Yeah, totally. I played this one show with the Plain White Tees in Michigan. Yeah. And for their show, so I was the opener, but for their show, it was a color bomb show where you have like those little bags of like colored dust.
Oh, that's fun.
And, oh my God, that sounds amazing.
It was so cool. And after my set, I actually snuck into the crowd around the back and was hanging out with people in the Plain White Tee show and just raging with everybody, throwing the dust.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was so much fun. Just like being a fan with the fans that just saw me play and engaging with them in that way was special. It was the only time I got to do that kind of thing. So
that sounds so fun. I want to go to a show like that.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to know, you know, like the scene in Miss Congeniality where there's paint and they're like doing the drums. Yeah.
Yes.
I've always wanted to do something like that. So that show sounds exactly like kind of like that. And I didn't even know that was a thing. So that's pretty cool.
Neither did I. It was crazy too, because so it was an outdoor show, like at this big football field, but then there was a crazy hail thunderstorm that forced the openers to have to play inside, and it scared the crap out of me. Like I'd never been through a storm like that. There's like a tornado nearby and stuff. Like I'd never been in those Midwest type storms.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But then the storm broke and the sun came out and it was beautiful right in time for Plain White Tee set. And then everybody came out and it just ended up being perfect. So yeah.
That sounds so fun. That sounds like that's a great memory. I'm glad you told us about it.
It's definitely cemented in my brain at this point.
Awesome. The next question. Do you like, I don't know. Okay. So have you ever gone into the crowd or like jumped off the stage to interact with people when you're performing? I guess maybe not, because you would play with guitar, right?
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but I'd always wanted the crowd surf. Like, with my new stuff, like when I get back on tour and stuff and doing shows, it's going to be really interesting not having a guitar and just being able to run around with the mic and
ooh,
do the
whole, you're going to have so much fun.
I can't wait. And I love to dance too. So it's just like, and all the stuff I'm making is pretty dancey. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
It's going
to
be good.
Can't wait to dance with you. Okay. And then do you prefer to record at home or in the studio?
I prefer to record at home for sure. Yeah.
More creative.
There's less pressure, and I'm kind of a control freak when it comes to music. So I like to be running all my gear the way I want. And you know, there's definitely some producers that I trust enough to let them do it. But I mean, I trust myself the most, obviously. So
me too. I feel like I would be the same way.
And that's the reason why I learned how to produce too, honestly, because I got tired of hiring producers and then getting something back that I didn't like, you know. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to learn how to do this so I can make it exactly the way I'm hearing it.
Yeah. You're the only person who can give you what you want. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly.
And then would you prefer to perform your older songs or your newer music?
I would prefer to perform my new stuff for sure. And I'm actually working on acoustic versions of all these new pop songs too. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
But honestly, like I've been kind of away from the guitar for a while, but ever since moving here to LA, we just have a ton of guitars in our living room and I've been getting back into it and I've been remembering how to play all my old stuff and like all these songs are coming back to me and it's been really fun. Like lately I've just been hopping on random Instagram live streams and playing old stuff for people and it's been so fun. And then also, like I said, like my voice has been changing and I can actually play these older songs better now. And it's like, I'm giving them new life. It's been awesome.
That is so awesome. Well, I don't know if you can speak on this, but I remember the whole like Taylor Swift thing with her rights over her old songs or whatever. Do you have an issue with that? Or are you able to still like perform, or do you have rights to your old stuff? How does that work?
I have rights to my own stuff. I think I'm still with the same publishing company under Dr. Loop. Luke. I'm not on the label, but yeah. So I'm pretty sure. I mean, I own my own trademark and I think they own the masters, but I can still play my own stuff. So
cool. I've always been intrigued as to like how that all works.
Nobody has come and told me I can't yet. So I think
okay.
Bummer, man. I feel bad for Taylor on that. That would really suck to not be able to play your own shit. Like,
she's been through it.
Well, I always am so just like, what do you believe in those situations? What's the truth? Because Scooter has his side, Taylor has her side. And then I'm like, why didn't Taylor just buy it herself? Like, I'm just very confused.
Yeah. I mean, somebody slipped up in her camp for sure.
Oh, that makes sense.
Somebody like her manager or somebody, there should have been somebody in charge of all that stuff, keeping everything up to date.
Right.
I doubt it was her specifically who messed up. You know what I mean? It's probably somebody.
Yeah. Cause I feel like Taylor's like such a good businesswoman and I feel like she would never let that happen.
Yeah. And like, you know, artists, like most of us don't like to deal with all the business stuff. So we put people around us that are much better at that stuff to help us, which is why I immediately come to the conclusion that it was probably just a mistake on her team or some type of miscommunication, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like she's gotten better business-wise, like as the years have gone on. I don't think she was always that way. I think she kind of had to start being
very advocating for herself. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's great at it. You what? Yeah,
I'd imagine as much. I mean, she's been through the ringer and she's just, she's been through so much and put out so much good music. Like inevitably you'd get kind of good at this kind of stuff. I would hope. That's what I'm hoping for myself. Cause I'm terrible at the business side of this. And I'm getting better at the marketing side, but not good at the business side. It doesn't come natural to me. So I'm hoping that with more experience, I'll get better as well.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate that Taylor has never let the industry like silence her in a way. Like,
and you know, she made that bold move of pulling all her stuff off Spotify,
which I still was a little confused by because now it's back on Spotify. But I always like, when Apple Music wasn't going to pay like the smaller artists, like she made a huge statement and like she can make waves happen. And I think that just having that voice behind her platform is just absolutely insane. Like she can, even when she tweeted about, I think it was the last election, she tweeted that she was like signed up to vote and like a million people registered to vote that day. Might not have solely been her, but probably all her.
The amount of social power she has is insane at this point. I mean, influencers in general at this point, it's crazy how much influence you can have on the, even the political spheres of this world, just being like a YouTuber or something. Like look at like those, the Paul brothers and stuff. Like it's crazy the types of things that they're doing. And they just have a podcast.
They're crazy. Well, they're from Ohio originally. And I remember him making vines in his OU, Ohio University dorm room. And now he's literally like just out there crushing it. And I'm like, what? Like, how does this happen?
It's like the people who get on these new platforms early and just run with it, they're able to just do crazy things. Like, you know, I was talking about how TikTok is the new thing, but honestly, there's probably something else coming down the pipe that's the new thing. Like TikTok's probably already run its course. Like, I mean, the peak of it, you know what I mean? Like what's the new platform that's going to be the place to
but it's so crazy. Like I've watched some TikToks, but I like refuse to actually download it and really be on it because I'm like, I don't want to get addicted to something else. Like I just, the scroll is real and it sucks you in. And I'm like, I just can't. And like all these new platforms, I'm just like, no, like it's too much.
You know, Instagram's just going to copy them anyway. They already have with the reels. Like they just,
right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like just like with what they did with Snapchat, making stories and stuff, like they're just going to absorb them eventually, I'm sure. But yeah, like making TikTok videos is like, it's a whole another rabbit hole that is going to require a ton of time to get good at. And like, I just haven't got there yet. I have a TikTok, but I only have like a couple videos on there. I need to like start adding all my shit on there. So be on the lookout. I forget what my,
I feel like it's very easy if there's traction, but I feel like it's easy to get traction on TikTok. Cause I feel like you could just go down a rabbit hole and then things just kind of, I feel like it's very easy to blow up on there.
You think, I mean, from the stories that I've heard, people just, they end up getting like a big TikToker to make a video with their song and then it blows up and then everybody copies it.
Yeah.
It seems formula right now. But yeah, God, you know, talking about this marketing stuff and the business stuff, just a lot of times just bums me out as a creative type because I really just, I'm
just going to put out music, but it's like, you have to.
I'm a geek, man. I'm a studio nerd. I just want to be in here. And I my favorite part, like I love performing, but my favorite part of music is this right here in the studio. Like, the creation of, like, when that first idea comes and you know it's good, like those feelings, that's why I do this. I just love making the songs. Everything.
Well, and I feel like if you stick to what you want to make and who you are, like the authenticity that comes from that, like, is reflected in your music, and that's what people connect with.
Agreed. At least I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want me, should I ask that last question, or have you ever played a festival, or like, I guess you played like Phillip Phillips, like bigger shows, but would you, I guess
I've never played a festival. I'd love to someday though.
What would be your dream festival to play?
Probably like Bonnaroo.
Ooh, Bonnaroo is a good time.
Yeah. There's, they always have such a good lineup there. And just, even if I was on one of the tiny stages, like I'd be down. Like
some of the tiny stages are fun.
My roommate, he's played at Bonnaroo and it looked incredible. He said it's like one of the best times ever. So I'm just like,
it is very hot though. It's like super cold at night. I mean, I went 1 year and camped, and it was like, it's freezing at night, but it's like blaring hot at 6 a.m. and you're like,
oh, that could be a problem for me. I run pretty hot. I might have to give the people that shirtless show they've been asking for.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess, would you prefer to play an arena show or like a more intimate show? Because I'm assuming you've played like in Portland, like smaller shows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what would you prefer?
I've never played an arena before. I mean, I don't know what that's like. I'd imagine that'd be a whole weird thing in itself. Like the acoustics would probably be crazy in there. But I think I like the medium level type show, like 100, 200 people there. Like those are my favorite. Like it just feels like you can see everybody's faces, but there's not too few of them where it feels like they're just like zooming in on you. Like it feels like a show, but it feels kind of intimate too. And like somewhere in that balance is the best, I feel like, at least
for
me.
It's so funny the way you describe like an intimate show, like a smaller show where everyone's like zoned in on you, because as like the concert goer, I never thought of it like that. Like those shows are my favorite because I feel like you can connect with the artist more. But now I guess like thinking from your standpoint, I guess it would be more intimidating.
Yeah, I don't know why it is. You would think the more people, the scarier, but it's just not. Like the radio gigs, like when you go, when I was on tour and in the morning, you'd have to go to the radio station and play it for like four people, like a cold, just like... room. And some of these dudes, like this happens to them every day. So they're just like, hey, here we go again. And those shows are the worst, man. Like you gotta get through them and you gotta put on your game. But inside your heart, you're dying as an artist.
See, and we've been to a couple of those and I think they're so fun. So it's just so interesting.
I've had some decent ones that I was cool with, but and also here's another thing. It's usually super early in the morning. So like you can you're like,
I'm so tired.
Yeah. And then like back then, all my songs were like crazy high falsetto. It's gonna be. And I'm just like, how am I gonna do this right now? 6:30.
More of that, please. Well, okay, great. So our last thing, you want to go? This is your realm. I'm sorry, I always try to take your thunder.
You're fine. We have a segment called Artist of the Week, and it's just like, I am really big on finding people who don't have as many streams as I feel like they should. So I love to promote my favorite artists. So we have a segment called Artist of the Week, and our Artist of the Week this week is going to be you, obviously, Christian Burkhart. So go stream his stuff. But Christian, do you have an artist that maybe doesn't get as much love as they should?
Definitely. We talked about her a little earlier. Her name is Sasha Sloan, and she's actually kind of starting to pop off now. Like her stuff is starting to get some streams. But when I first heard her 3-4 months ago, a friend introduced me to her music. She wasn't that big yet. And I'd heard that she'd been hustling the writing scene here in LA for years, like writing all these big songs for other people, but had never put out her own stuff. And now she's putting out her own stuff, and her writing is incredible. Her voice is incredible. She's
got a lot of monthly listeners on Spotify. She's 11 million.
Oh yeah. She's starting to get big now, but
what type of music does she do?
She's like, all of her stuff is really deep. Like her lyrical messages, they're usually,
hey, see, I'm going to be into her.
Like, you're going to like her lyrics a lot. Like listen to the song, House with No Mirrors. It's really, really cool song, really deep lyrically. She's also got this track called Lie. That's my favorite song of hers right now. It's really good. But yeah, her genre, I guess, like she's a girl that I could sing with. Like she would mesh right in with my production style and stuff. Her voice too. But her stuff, almost every song has like a darker type of edge or tone to it, either lyrically or melodically. And I like that. Like her whole thing on Instagram, her screen name is Sad Girl Sloan, and all her images are like sad.
I feel like I've seen that pop up on my Instagram.
It's a really interesting way to market yourself, and it works for her. And it seems like it's genuine to her too. So I'm just a big fan already, and I love her stuff. So artist pick of the week from Christian Burkhart, Sasha Sloan. Everybody check her out. She's amazing.
Thanks for that little slide in there.
Yep.
Well, we also just wanted to end on a note. We wanted to encourage everyone. So we saw that your mom is struggling with cancer, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So we made a donation earlier this week to your GoFundMe.
I saw that. Thank you so much, you guys.
You're welcome. So we just wanted I'm going to try to put it in the episode notes, but if you could just say where people can go donate. I guess you probably have it on your socials, but we just wanted to encourage everyone to also, if they feel obligated or feel a pull to also.
And are able to. I know, like, obviously with the pandemic and everything, money is tough, but if you're able to support someone who's struggling, it's feels good.
It would, you know, anything would help a lot. Like we've already, my mom is, she believes in naturopathic medicine, so she hasn't been doing chemotherapy, any of the Western medicine. And because of that, you know, it's been expensive. Like a lot of this stuff isn't paid for with insurance. Mm-hmm. So we've spent a lot of money, like my family and all the people involved. And we're just kind of we're at the end of what we can do, which is why we're doing this. My mom, this is the last thing she wanted to do is a GoFundMe, because she's such a proud woman. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to have to beg for money, but it's come to this point. And, you know, she started some new treatments just recently, and it looks like she's been getting better since I've been home. And we just want to keep that positivity going. And if we can reach our goal of 10K, we'll be able to keep this going and move in a positive direction. And hopefully she can make a full on comeback from this. It's been a tough year for my family, but we're still optimistic, and we still think that she can beat this thing. So I'm going to have the link to the GoFundMe on my Facebook music page. It's Christian Burkhart Music. So you can check it out there. I'll have it in my bio, and there'll probably be a few posts about it as well. So.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll be thinking about her.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for being on. Sit down and dive deep with you.
I agree. No, you guys have been great. This hasn't felt like it hasn't.
It's already been an hour and 30 minutes, and it doesn't feel like it at all.
Oh, yeah, it's just felt like a hangout sesh with some good buddies. So I really appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we're friends.
That's the goal.
Well.
All right.
I guess this is goodbye.
I guess so. By the way,
terrible ending.
I never know how to end this.